Lawyers of Reddit, what's your best most badass I rest my case moment? As a young attorney, I had stated a claim that an insurance company was dragging out a case in bad faith in hopes that my elderly client would die before they had to pay him. I was requesting that the trial date be given priority due to my client's advanced age. The judge was no spring chicken himself and seemed skeptical when he asked exactly how old my client was, maybe thinking that he was in his 70s and must merely seem ancient to a baby lawyer like me. When I responded that my client was 92 and the case has already gone on for 5 years, the judge was visibly shocked and immediately granted my motion for priority, shutting down the insurance company's attorney's attempt to respond. They wrote us a check for $1 million the next week. I was representing a woman with a severe neck injury. Opposing counsel presented a test result that showed her cervical exam was normal. I felt almost bad when I pointed out he had the wrong cervical area in mind. I was a second year associate and handling my first trial. I represented the plaintiff. The defendant had an expert witness who had testified previously in about 40 similar cases. This expert came out to my client's property and did a completely bullshit examination of the issue, and his expert report was equally as bullshit. For those of you that don't know, expert testimony needs to meet a certain standard, the Daubert standard, at least in my state, in order to be admissible. This guy basically took some photos and put a ruler on the ground a few times to make his report seem legit. The partners at my firm told me it wasn't worth trying to file a Daubert motion to strike his report testimony because the case was low value, under $100k, and those types of motions can be very complex, and didn't want to bill the client for it. I was so angry about this guy being deemed an expert that I came in on a weekend on my own time and drafted a 20-page motion to strike his testimony. I didn't bill the client a dime. The defendant didn't file a response to my Daubert motion to strike. Instead, they waited until right before the expert was set to testify. He had been sitting in court racking up fees for 2 full days beforehand. The judge had the jury leave the room, put the expert on the stand, and allowed the defendant to do a direct examination of their expert. The defendant's attorney, not taking my motion seriously, had their inexperienced associate, just like me, do the examination. It was incredibly basic and didn't respond to any of the points in my motion. I was in charge of doing his cross-exam. It was my first cross-exam of a witness ever. I tore the guy, a seasoned expert witness, apart on the stand. I got his entire testimony and report struck. They also had a second expert witness who was pretty terrible, but not quite as terrible. I also did his cross-exam. Realizing that they were in serious trouble without their primary expert and their second expert at risk of getting struck, the lead counsel for the defendant, a named partner at a well-known firm, did the direct exam for the second expert. I again did the cross. I got the second expert's testimony struck except for one very, very tiny area. So essentially he was forced to testify with both hands tied behind his back. It was the most gratifying moment of my legal career so far. We had a case where opposing counsel was cross-examining our expert witness on hydrology regarding some Ziltrunoff issues. Mr. Smith, wouldn't you agree that the book I'm holding is highly respected in your field and considered to be the gold standard on the subject? Witness, I'm aware that it is highly regarded in my field. Would you be willing to explain, in your own words, what paragraphs 6 to 10 on page 121 is describing? Witness reads the passage word for word. Yes, I can read, but could you put this passage in your own words for the court? Witness, these are my own words. I wrote it. We were the defendants. We were being sued by an whore over silt in a lake. We were able to prove that we weren't responsible and prevailed. It actually originated from another site and entered the lake elsewhere. However, that site was owned by a very large corporation, and I don't think the hoa wanted to fight with an entity that could fight forever. My sister got T-boned by a car, causing a concussion when I was younger. Long story short, we were in court with the judge, who asked the driver if he had ever sped before. No, your honor, I never speed, was his reply. The judge asked him a couple more times if he was sure if he never sped ever. The driver was adamant that he never sped and never had before. A few minutes later, my sister's lawyer gave the judge some paperwork. She read it and said to the driver, "It seems that you have some past driving violations. Can you tell me what they are for?" Speeding, her driver had to pay medical bills for my sister. I'm relatively junior, so I'm hoping to beat this one day. I defend professionals and brought a motion to dismiss a case on the basis that the plaintiff could not prove my client was negligent as she had not served the required expert evidence. As opposing counsel and I waited for our motion to be heard, we were sitting in the courtroom. The judge, who I did not know and who had not read our materials, wanted to talk to the parties of a short trial which was to be heard after our motion was argued. That matter was also a professional negligence matter and the plaintiffs had no expert support. The judge then spent 10 minutes explaining that he had practiced in professional negligence for many years and was well versed in the evidentiary requirements to prove the element of professional negligence. In fact, he said, "I very rarely use the word impossible in this courtroom, but it is impossible for you to be successful without expert evidence." Our matter was then called, and I reveled in explaining to the judge that he was about to hear a motion to dismiss a professional negligence case on the basis that the plaintiff had no expert evidence. I won. So I call up my client's disgruntled former employee about a contract dispute that he started, and that got my client into litigation. After two questions, it was obvious he was a lying son of a bitch. I didn't want to call him as a witness, he was prone to act unpredictably. I took down his story as we talked, which was easily proven false by documents, and which cast my client in a false and bad light. I did not tell him how I'd caught him in lies. Fast forward one day, I submit a list of known witnesses to opposing counsel, as required by the rules. Witness number one was the lying sack of sheet. Fast forward to trial, my opposing counsel calls the lying sack of sheet as his first witness and the lying sack of sheet acts like a lying sack of sheet. He tells the same story on the witness stand that he told me on the phone. I took emails that he wrote and entered them into evidence and proved him a clear liar. My client didn't breach the contract, the party suing did. After the lying sack of sheet left the witness stand, I asked the court for a brief recess, granted. I approached opposing counsel. My client was still willing to sign on to the walkaway settlement, where no money changes hands, and no fault was admitted. We offered the deal 2 months before, and it was angrily rejected. Now, suddenly, it was accepted. Score. Corporate lawyer, so I don't have cases to rest. But one opposing counsel was forcefully insisting that it was ridiculous for me to expect a certain provision in a contract we were negotiating, and I pointed out that this provision was standard in his own firm's contract forms, as I knew from several prior transactions I'd worked on across from them. Pretty exciting stuff. He took it in stride and said, jokingly, "Well, of course it's fine when we ask for it." I represented a company that was sued for breach of contract by a former independent contractor. Dude basically alleged that my client wasn't paying him correctly in accordance with the contract. During his deposition, dude admits that he never reviewed any documents to make sure his allegations were true, never reviewed his complaint before filing it to make sure the allegations in it were true, and had no idea whether or not my client actually failed to pay him in accordance with the contract. Basically, he tells me that he was suing my client because he didn't think their agreement was fair, even though he agreed to the terms when he signed the contract. The kicker is that he admitted that he owed my client money. At arbitration, he tries to flip his story and starts giving testimony that is the exact opposite of his death, so I whip out his transcript and undermine his testimony bit by bit. Needless to say, I won that case. Not a backquote case winning moment, but a backquote motion winning one for sure. Think of cases like a big conflict, with motion hearings as little conflicts. Opposing attorney was insisting that backquote ruler meant they could do X. I tried, multiple times, to point out backquote ruler literally did not say that. During the hearing, the judge reached behind them grabbed their backquote rules of civil procedure, basically a dictionary of rules, placed it in front of the other attorney, and said, "Show me where Ule says X." Other attorney did not take the hint, read rules out loud for a brutal 5 minutes, and gave the book back. I said, "Judge, I have nothing to add." It was pretty fun. Opposing counsel decided that I had coached my witness and gave him lines to repeat that he was lying. Short version is that he asked the witness if he spoke to me before he testified. Witness said he had. Attorney looked like he thought he had me. Attorney asked the witness what I told him, what instructions I gave him. Witness looked him dead in the eye and said, "First thing he told me was to tell the truth no matter what. He said the lawyer is never the one who goes to jail, that he isn't going to jail for me, and if I lie, I'm on my own." Attorney looked like someone took the air out of him. Everyone in the courtroom simultaneously looked at me. Only time I've smirked all aft in court. I wanted to put my feet up on the table, like I was Vincent LaGuardia Gambini, hands behind my head, and say, "I'm done with this guy." I was on the losing end. Represented a guy who had bought a company and the company failed spectacularly within months due to a number of reasons I could attribute to the seller, and they had clearly lied about the company's finances to induce him to buy. I was suing to rescind the deal, have your shitty company back, and give my guy his money back. I laid out my huge case and thought I had it in the bag, and then opposing counsel asked my guy, "Isn't it true that you listed this business for sale a month ago?" "Yes." "And you did sell it, correct?" "You signed a purchase and sale." "Yes, but he never finished paying me. He has more payments to make." "I'll just give his money back when you guys give me my money back." My idiot client had me suing over a company that he had legally sold. Ducker never told me. Game over on the spot. A lawyer friend of mine had written a blog post about a legal subject. Opposing counsel filed a motion. Again. As others pointed out, this is like the small battles which are part of the overall war of the lawsuit, in which they had to cite their reasoning for their arguments. In this particular motion, they chose to dig through the website of my friend, where they found that blog post which they chose to cite in their own arguments. Basically, they were going for an aha moment. "You can't argue against us, because you yourself once wrote something which we think agrees with our point of view." Rather than dispute the nitty-gritty details of their argument, my attorney friend simply responded with something along the lines of, "I'm honored to be cited as an expert in this area by my esteemed opposing counsel. Now, as their chosen expert, let me tell you what the law means, and why they are wrong." It was glorious. They very quickly revised their argument. I do mostly solicitor work, so if I'm doing my job right, I don't get a whole lot of these type of moments. That being said, I had a long-time client who was being sued, and I got to shut down the guy suing him in a very satisfying way. So my client had hired a guy, we will call Kevin, as basically a right-hand man for his company. The employment contract wasn't done yet, but they had an agreement that Kevin would work 6 weeks at a lower wage, and then sign the contract, and get the agreed-upon wage. So the guy works decently for 5 weeks, and then is given the contract to sign. He comes back to the owner, my client, and says that he has some small changes he would like to make. When the owner gets the contract back, he finds that the small changes involve removing the duties and responsibilities section, basically the job description, and a non-compete confidentiality clause. Not only that, but he has written in a higher salary than agreed and added a bunch of new benefits for himself. Obviously, my client tells him that he can either sign the contract as it was originally laid out, or he can find himself another job. He takes the latter option. But he starts a lawsuit against the owner wanting to be paid for the 6 weeks he was supposed to work, which had already been paid, 2 weeks in lieu of notice and 5 weeks vacation pay. I got the enjoyable job of telling Kevin, in front of a judge, that he was not entitled to anything under the employment legislation, and the only way he could get any of that would be if he had signed the contract. Judge dismissed the case and awarded costs to the defendant, but not before giving Kevin a lecture on wasting the court's time. I'm not an attorney, and it wasn't in front of a judge, but I got into a dispute with a contractor who ducked up royally when installing a new heating system, resulting in an asbestos contamination of my house. Their insurance argued the contractor couldn't have caused the contamination, because the contamination was way worse than could have been possible from what the contractor did, which is bullshit. They argued the contamination must have been caused by the contractor that installed the previous heating system. It was super satisfying to write our response 1. The previous heating system was placed 12 years earlier. The asbestos dust was visibly lying everywhere. Arguing we didn't vacuum for 12 years was beyond ridiculous. 2. The asbestos dust was on a floor we installed 6 months earlier, included the receipt for the floor. And then the third point was the most fun to write 3. I said they were welcome to believe the contamination was caused by the contractor who installed the previous system 12 years ago. I included the receipt of that installation. It was done by the same contractor. The next letter was very brief, stating they would pay us for all damages we were claiming. Not a lawyer, but during a particularly nasty employment mediation hearing, I got to ask my former employer a question about payments per employment law. Me, did you or did you not pay into state mandated unemployment insurance fund for all your employees past and present? Silence mediator. Sir, answer the question, silence mediator. Well, let me ask it. Did you or did you not pay into state mandated unemployment insurance fund for all your employees past and present? Silence mediator. I'll take that as a no.